Welcome back to Talking Baseball alongside Bill Lasky and Marty Lurie. My name is Kerry Crowley, and it's a pleasure to welcome in our next guest. He's the voice of the Los Angeles Dodgers, Joe Davis. Joe, great to talk to you. How are you today?
Doing well, Kerry. Good to talk to you, too.
Yeah, it's been a while. We worked together back in 2016. I was your stats guy in spring training. Back then, Farhan Zaidi was with the Dodgers. Alex Wood was with the Dodgers. And I guess I technically was with the Dodgers, too, when we first met.
I know. Geez, San Francisco raiding all our pieces.
Well, it's fun to see the different sides of the rivalry, and I know that you have a lot of thoughts on the Giants-Dodgers matchups that we've seen so far this season, and we'll get into that now. But I do want to ask you, just over the last 5 years as the broadcaster for the Dodgers, what's your impression been of this rivalry? You know, the Dodgers have been so dominant in the National League West, winning the division every year, winning the World Series in 2020, but for the most part, the Giants have given them a run for their money and made these matchups really interesting.
Yeah. And I guess when I first started, 2016, the Giants are still pretty fresh off of winning their third World Series in a short span. So, you know, when I took over the Dodger job, it kind of felt flipped from how it does now, where it was like the Dodgers barking up at the Giants. And, you know, I remember going into my very first road trip with the team was at San Diego, at San Francisco, and I fell in love with the rivalry right away. And it's hard not to love the ballpark in San Francisco, obviously. And everything about, you know, anytime you get the two teams together, everything about it, I love. Everything from, you know, the colors of the teams. It seems perfect, right? When there's the orange and the blue out on the field together, and, you know, the environments that you get in each ballpark when they face off. So regardless of where the teams have been in the standings, as you know, I've now gone through the 5 or 6 years or whatever it is that I've been here, it's always special to cover these games.
No question about it. And one of my favorite aspects of the rivalry is it always feels like there's characters and there's villains on each side. There's some animosity from time to time. Madison Bumgarner and Yasiel Puig kind of dominated for 3 or 4 years there. But now Trevor Bauer and Max Muncy have kind of become the villains for the Giants. And I really appreciate the edge that they bring to these games. I think that it's really good for the rivalry. What did you think of Bauer's first start against San Francisco at Oracle Park last week, where he just kind of immediately embraced the fact that he knew Giants fans were going to hate him because he was wearing Dodger blue?
Yeah, I love it too. And I think he's one of the lead proponents across baseball of this new age of showing more emotion and allowing your joy to be seen. And, you know, I think the great thing about Trevor is that he's okay taking it too. You know, Fernando Tatis Jr. hit a home run off him earlier this year and took his time admiring it. And Bauer was like, yeah, that's great. If you hit a homer off of me, feel free to enjoy it and watch it. So, you know, he talked about going into that start with the Giants as, look, like you said, they're going to hate me, so I'm going to lean into it. And he is a willing villain. And I think it was Grant Brisby before the season wrote an article that said Trevor Bauer is going to be the perfect villain. And, boy, he was spot on, wasn't he? It only took one start for Bauer to really lean into the rivalry and kind of anoint himself as the newest Dodger villain.
Absolutely. And a little disappointing that the Giants didn't get to see him this weekend, but I don't think they'll mind the fact that they didn't have to face him, as their hitters would say. One thing that I wanted to ask you, Joe, you started in 2016, you referenced that. So you have not broadcasted in a world where the Dodgers are not an elite baseball team. How do you try and differentiate between each of the teams you've broadcasted? Because obviously there's the World Series team from 2020, but just about every year the Dodgers are atop the baseball world and everyone's chasing them. So how do you create different memories in your mind of each team?
Yeah, you know, first of all, I'm really lucky that they've been that good. I've said many times before that if they'd been losing 100 games a year since I got here, I'd probably run out of town by now. But I've been delivering good news, so they're letting me hang around a little while longer, I guess. It's not a challenge because there are each year there's a little twist on it. You know, they won 7 straight division titles, and then they brought in Mookie Betts. You know, 2017, they got Yu Darvish at the deadline and went to the World Series. 2018, they got Manny Machado at the deadline. So, I mean, and then the guys that have come up each year, you know, from Bellinger to Will Smith, and Matt Beatty's been great. Gavin Lux now. It just seems like they always have found a way to, whether it's through free agency or through trades or through their player development, bring up fresh faces that have made it easy to feel like it's a fresh group to cover and a fresh angle.
Talking with Joe Davis here on Talkin' Baseball, the voice of the Los Angeles Dodgers. He referenced that 2017 team, and one of the best players on that club was Alex Wood, pitching at an elite level, got Cy Young votes that year. And in 2020, he was pitching out of the Dodger bullpen. The Giants saw enough in the World Series that they wanted to sign him as a starting pitcher, 1 year, $3 million deal. You saw him on Thursday night. How close is he to the form that he showed in that 2017 season, Joe?
I love him. I think that what I see from him when he's really good, besides the obvious of the stuff being good, is he works exceptionally quickly, and he's just got a confident edge about him. And I see both those things right now. So, and what an incredible job by Farhan Zaidi to put together that rotation on all those one-year deals. And somebody in Wood that he obviously had very good familiarity with going back to their days together with the Dodgers. And you mentioned they had seen something in the World Series that led them to believe he could get back to where he was before the injuries back in 2017. And it seems like he really has. I mean, he's clicking very similar to what we remember from his best days here.
Well, you reference you're familiar with Farhan Zaidi, and you know what he can do in building a roster, and you know how he approaches building depth. As the Giants start to this season, obviously not a whole lot of success against the Dodgers, but have they surprised you at all that in their ability to hang with the Dodgers and the Padres atop this National League West?
Yeah, very much so. And I think that Farhan gets a lot of credit, rightfully so, especially when you look at the rotation and how he pieced that together and has gotten good performances out of guys who they were hoping would bounce back and do what they'd done prior in their career. But I don't know if it's getting enough traction how good the veteran players have been. And I know that it is covered and it is one of the headlines, but for me, that's the bigger thing, that it's all these guys, you know, from Posey to Crawford to, I know Belda's now on the IL, Longoria the last couple of days getting it going again. And these are all the guys that are in their mid-30s that over the last few years have kind of been the face of the downturn for the Giants, right? Like this was the old guard that helped them win, now dealing with injuries and on the back half of their career and have them hamstrung and unable to go out and redesign the roster the way that maybe Farhan Zaidi would like to. Well, now all those guys out of the middle of nowhere have started to bounce back, and I know some of them quietly started to bounce back last year, but the way that all those guys at the same time have emerged to really this season, those are the top guys. It's not like they're supplementing Donovan Solano and Mike Yastrzemski and Alex Dickerson. Those have been the best hitters, and I just think that's such a fun story for the Giants and for the whole National League to look at.
No question. And speaking of veteran players who were kind of on the downturn or at least had faced doubts about their ability to become big performers later on in their careers, it was only a few years ago that people were down on Kenley Jansen at the back end of that Dodger bullpen. I mean, there was a point in the postseason when Dave Roberts didn't want to go to Kenley Jansen. He goes out on Thursday night, Joe, and just looks incredible. I mean, the cutter's still up at 94, 95. How's he doing this?
Yeah, and I would even say, Kerry, there was significant doubt a month and a half ago to start this season. A lot of people wondering, why is Kenley Jansen still the closer? If he wasn't really the closer in October by the time he got to the last game, what's changed where he's the closer now? And over the first probably month, he would have flashes of what you saw last night, but then the next outing he'd be 89 and flat. So you just didn't really know what you were going to get. But the last 2-3 weeks, really this entire month of May, he's pretty consistently looked how he looked last night. I don't know if you noticed at all, a little bit of a mechanical change. There's like this kind of this hip wiggle that he's doing as he comes set. And more than a mechanical thing, I think that it's just a mental cue for him to engage those hips more. And the ball is really exploding. I mean, he's really coming down the hill, similar to what we saw in some of his better days.
Absolutely. And you mentioned the hip wiggle. If that's getting you 3-4 extra miles an hour and the movement on that cutter, I think that a lot of pitchers around Major League Baseball will be paying attention to that. But it really does speak volumes, not just about Jansen, but about the Dodger coaching staff as well. And when Gabe Kapler was hired in San Francisco, Joe, there was a lot of chatter about his willingness to bring in inexperienced coaches who hadn't played at the Major League level. But the Dodgers were really one of the first organizations to come up with some forward-thinking, progressive ideas on the coaching staff and to go out and find maybe some unheralded or names that hadn't been talked about in baseball circles who didn't come from traditional backgrounds. How has that influenced Dave Roberts' staff and his philosophy over the past few years?
Yeah, I mean, you've got Rob Van Scoyock as one of the hitting coaches who never played professionally. He's one of the guys that helped make J.D. Martinez into the hitter that he is now. But they also have Brant Brown, who was a big league hitter. So, you kind of have a marriage on that hitting staff. And I know it's similar with the Giants, where there are a few guys with different backgrounds to make up that hitting coach team. Same thing with the Giants pitching coaching staff. Similar for the Dodgers. They have Mark Pryor, who everybody knows, but they also have Connor McGinnis, who played Division III ball, but that's it, and is one of those unconventional, or at least previously unconventional hires like you're talking about. But I think we've seen, as with anything, you're going to take some heat and you're going to get some side eyes until it works, and then you're going to get a bunch of copycats. And not saying the Dodgers are the first team to do that, the team everybody's copying, but across the industry, I think you're seeing more and more teams open to going a little bit off of the board from what you would have done traditionally, because it's worked for teams like the Dodgers and the Giants.
Now, before we let you go here, Joe, I'm of the opinion that you have one of the best jobs in all of sports, and it's the ability to broadcast a local team in the Dodgers on a daily basis, but also to be a national broadcaster for Fox. So you get to see the rest of the league and look around all of Major League Baseball, get a beat on everything that's going on. What have been some of your favorite storylines so far in this 2021 season?
Yeah, you're right. I am so lucky. And honestly, even though I do love getting to look around baseball and getting to see all the big picture storylines across the sport, I think we're lucky in that this is kind of this is central for the biggest storylines. The National League West, with the obvious ones of the Dodgers and the Padres probably being the two most talented teams in the National League, maybe even in baseball coming of the year, living up to the hype so far. But then the added wrinkle of the Giants doing what they're doing is even amplified how good of a story the National League West is. So I'm very lucky that I get to see, I think, what is probably the best national story. I get to see it on kind of an everyday basis. But you're right, I'm so lucky that I get to see teams from around the country too.
Well, we're lucky to listen to you, Joe. I know it often pains Giants fans when they hear your calls because it's mostly Dodger highlights. And so that'll be disgruntling or unsettling to them. But we appreciate your time, as always. And thank you so much for joining us on Talkin' Baseball.
Anytime, Kerry. Good to talk to you.
Great to talk to you as well. That's Joe Davis. A lot more coming up next on Talkin' Baseball, Giants pregame show. You're listening to KBR 104.5, 680, the sports leader.